Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. Hear these words. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate his lovely name with music, for the Lord has chosen us for himself. He said, "You are my special treasure. God, your name endures forever. Your fame is known to every generation. For the Lord will give justice to his people and also have compassion on his servants." Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful for you this morning. We're thankful that you are good. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our life, you are good. You're the steadfast, you are the constant, the one that we can run to, our rock and our refuge. So God, we say, thank you for being you. God, we praise you because you give justice. You make the world right. And we ask and continue to pray that you would do so. God, we also thank you that you have compassion. God, for the things that we are dealing with personally right now, God, we trust that you know them. We trust that you would have compassion. You would suffer with us in the midst of that, that you could make them right as well. So God, individually and as a community, we bring to you the things now that are heavy on our hearts. A situation at work or a family member, something difficult in the days ahead. We say, God, would you walk this road with us? And God, my prayer for us in this time as we gather to worship you is that you would speak to us in some way, whether it be through the words of the music or the prayers or the message. God, would you have us here today what we need to hear from you? May we receive it with joy and be changed because of that and learn to follow you and what you are saying to us. God, bless the rest of our time together. And as we hear from Pastor Brian again, speak, for we are listening. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In just a moment, Pastor Brian, our lead pastor, is going to come and bring the message to us. Today's message is entitled State of the Church, looking at where we're at together as a church and maybe a little bit in the days ahead as well. So let's turn to Pastor Brian and hear the word today.
Thank you, Pastor Galen. It was the early days of COVID. We had just shut down and everything was crazy. These are the days when there were a whole bunch of sick people in New York City, and there was a lack across the country of some of the protective wear and masks and all of those things and ventilators, all of that stuff. It was a pretty heavy time. We have a tendency now, we've kind of got used to, and this thing has kind of begun to play itself out. And so we're a little bit more relaxed than we were, but that was a pretty heavy time. I went out to the mailbox to get the mail. And as you leave today, you'll see the mailboxes, if you don't know where they are, right out there, pretty near Bell Road, right? And anytime that we go out there, it's always like, keep one eye on the traffic, because it is thick, and sometimes it's pretty quick, right? And so I went out to get the mail, and I opened the mailbox, and I looked down, and I saw this sedan coming towards me, at first at what was pretty decent rate of speed, and I just kind of kept my eye on it and went retrieve the mail, and then I noticed that it was slowing down. And when it got right beside me, it stopped in the road, and the window rolled down, and that's when I saw who was driving. It was Sam and Loretta Kressel. And Loretta stuck her hand out as they sat on Bell Road and said, "Here, Pastor, we wanted to make sure we got this in." And it was their tithe. And then Sam I don't know if he squealed the tires, kind of felt like he did as he pulled away. And I will never, ever forget that moment when, in the midst of everything that was going on, this incredibly committed couple said, "We want to make sure that we get this in. Sam and Loretta, I will think about that moment my entire ministry. Because it's a pretty good, if you know Sam and Loretta, you know that that's a pretty good example of their commitment to the kingdom and to the local church. At 116 years of age, Chicago First Church is alive and well. And I'm going to present this week and next week a couple of thoughts about where we are and where we're going forward. And what won't be lost in this is not a business report. This isn't what we're talking about. I'm going to give you some things that I think will be very, very helpful as you look at the state of where you are. We're going to call this grit and grace. That moment reminded me of a foundation that I have felt as a pastor over all of these years. It is a bedrock beneath everything that happens, not only in this local church, but in Christ Community down the road, in Parkview, and all of the other churches in the area. There is something underneath this church and every church that's following Jesus that is an incredible foundation. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? And what's the take on me? What are people saying about me? And they respond to him some things. And then he turns it this way. And this is really a question for 2020. In a season of chaotic change and all kinds of things that are going on. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The reality of this verse is the bedrock that we stand on. Jesus will build his church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The New Living Testament says the powers of hell, all of the things that would come against, all of the things that would seek to weaken, in reality, God's church just gets stronger. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is a season of grit and grace in the church. Maybe sometimes a little more grit. It's not an easy time. It's not been an easy season. But I want to talk to you today about what God is doing. Because if I ever questioned the durability of the church, and I'll be frank with you, if you'd have told me, hey, Brian, heading into next year, the church is going to be shut down for about 6 months from a standpoint of gathering, I might have mistook that thought and thought the church was going to be shut down for 6 months. But the church wasn't shut down for a moment. The building was closed. But the church actually began to multiply. This is an exciting season, both for us as a church and for you as an individual, for there are rare opportunities that are ours right now that I want us to experience. Now, having said that about the positivity of the moment, how would you finish this phrase? 2020 has been like, right? Some of you shouldn't finish that phrase in this building right now. You wait till you... because it's not been easy. So I found a picture a while back that for me kind of summarizes 2020. It's like, hang with me, it's like I went shark fishing. Or maybe for those of you that are kinder to sharks, I just went on a photo safari for sharks and this happened. That's kind of what it feels like. It kind of feels like everything just went. Remember when you had plans? Right? Remember that? Remember when you thought last year we were coming into 2020 and we were putting stuff in position. We met for hours. It's going to be so incredible. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. That's why this is a season of grit and grace. And you have been an amazing church during this season. You have supported each other. Hundreds and hundreds of phone calls have been made. Just to make sure, just to check up. You have given faithfully. You have loved one another. You have supported this staff during a very, very difficult time. Part of the reason, I believe, that we are where we are, and you'll see this over the next couple of weeks, part of the reason that we are positioned the way that we're positioned is because we know who we are. Between 2012 and 2015, your church leadership recognized that there were shifts happening in culture. And that the nature of the church in terms of what she was able to do, all of that was changing. We began a journey to understand who we are. Some of the cultural shifts, this is in the last 10 years, some of the cultural shifts have been huge. There was a day when I grew up as a kid, the community I was in, down in Danville, Illinois, schools wouldn't plan stuff on Wednesday night because it was prayer meeting night for most churches. They met. That's the church was at the center of the culture. And they would never have planned anything on a Sunday. And all of that began to shift. There was a day when churches were welcome into the school. And for different reasons, that began to move away. And over the last 10 years, we've seen as the athletic field has become the teaching place for so many of our youth instead of the Sunday school. All of those things come in. Over the last 20 years, regular church attendance, that means those who attend regularly, who are just they're there, has moved from about 46 and 47 weeks a year to around 20. Our culture has shifted. There was something going on, and your church leadership recognized that we needed to begin to think differently. And so one of the major shifts that we saw was that at census time, when they gather and they ask folks about a faith affiliation, the largest, the fastest growing group were the group of nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And at the last census, and they've updated this over the last 10 years, and we'll get new data very, very quickly, within a 6-mile radius of C1, 74,419 people. These are folks who, these aren't folks who've said, I'm not Christian. These are folks who said, I don't have any faith. There's no faith affiliation. That number continues to rise. And your leader said, we need to figure some stuff out because we have to find a way to do what God has called us to do. And so that began a process of clarify, simplify, and multiply. Hang with me. We wanted to clarify the when. Why are we here? What are we doing? We can do a whole bunch of stuff, but what are we here? And here's the when. If you're new to C1, this is a great time. Here's the when. The when is when somebody far from God takes a step closer. And if it's your first time and you're here, you need to know that and you feel far from God, we are so grateful that you're here. A win is when somebody at the intersection, whether it's time to make a decision, it's time, at the threshold of committing their life to Christ, when somebody steps over, we celebrate that. Those two things become crystal clear for us. It's who we are. It's what we want. That means that we think about our environments. We think about what we're doing because we don't want to speak a language that folks who might be near don't understand. And a win is when somebody who's a follower of Jesus takes a step up farther into their destiny. We want to simplify the journey. It's hard to become part of a church if particularly if you have never been a part of one, which so many people now are coming to us haven't, or maybe the experience was bad. And a church is it's a family. We talked about that, Galen talked about that, it's a family. And sometimes when you're new to the family, it can be tough to figure out. I mean, you don't always understand the jokes. And Galen talked about how every family has that one uncle that is always seeing. You just don't always know what's going on. I had a friend tell me one time who came to a church I was pastoring. He said, your church was friendly, and it was nice, but it felt a little bit like the first time I went to visit my wife's family, and we were dating. It was just like, I don't know quite everything. We want to simplify the journey, and we want to multiply our presence, and we'll talk more about that. The state of the church, we exist to develop followers of Jesus who love God and serve others. That's what we're here to do. We identified during those 3-year period, going back throughout our 116-year now history, that there were 4 components that were critically important. One was faith. We believe in God. We believe in you because he made you. There's a purpose and a plan. We believe in the scriptures. We're just believers. We're people of faith. We know that family is critically important. Both the family unit, the nuclear family, because that impacts the entire culture when that's impacted. And it is a tough thing. That's why we're so committed to helping parents win, but also the family of faith and community. Friendship, critically important. We don't want to be friendly, we want to be friends and farther along. Meaning there's always another step for us to take as we follow Jesus. We determined that we needed to multiply, to leverage the resources of a large church with the personality and proximity of a small church to develop the church where it's needed most, right down the block. We want to put this experience on corners so kids can walk there and where people don't have to drive a long distance. That was what we committed to. Now I'm going to run through this. Hang with me because there's some good meat coming, I think. We changed our leadership system a couple years ago, and as opposed to a senior pastor and then kind of a downward slope, we created an executive team. Pastor Galen, Pastor and myself, and Pastor Phil come together for the purpose to help multiply leaders. We are a place where we're going to see folks come and grow up in faith and go out in ministry, multiply locations, and help existing churches. For the first time in a couple of years, our staff is full. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but these are your pastors. And I put Reverend in front of these just as a reminder that your pastoral staff is on a journey towards ordination. And in the Church of Nazarene, that's not a board meeting where we bring somebody in and we ordain them. That's a process that can take up to 10 years. These are individuals who have given their life to the ministry. I'm going to tell you something. In spite of whatever executive team does, in spite of whatever our pastoral staff does, if it wasn't for volunteers, those of you who give of your time, who step in, and those of you that are going on retreat for Ignite next week, that number could be as high as 57 if the location could hold it. God's doing something in student ministry that's incredible right now. Those of you who volunteer in student ministry and those of you who volunteer with CR, if it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't matter what the rest of us did. But because of who you are and what you've done, this is a season of grit and grace, but the church is alive and well. So we came into this year challenging you with Elevate. And you may remember that the series that ended right at the time that COVID hit and we shut down was Elevate, Step Into Your Very Best Life. I would not have chosen that title if I'd have known what was going to happen next. We had spent months as a church board and as a staff looking at refocusing questions, asking, you know, this is our culture. Now, this has become part of our ongoing conversation. We're just always asking. We want to come around these questions. And we came to this Elevate series in late February, challenging you to join us and to be strong at home, committed to multiply, and committed to missions. And we went through about 5 weeks of preaching, and then there was a Sunday when what we were asking you to do, we do this about every 24 to 36 months, depending upon kind of what the time is. We ask folks to say, hey, you know, we're in, and give us an idea. These aren't pledges, but just give us an idea of what your giving might look like over the next 24 months or so. And it was the day when I was doing that, let me get here again. And March 12th hit. And on the very day that we were calling it Commitment Sunday, you were watching me on a screen for the first time. And the shark hit. And everything changed. But your team began to adapt and deliver children's ministries online, student ministry, begin to create Zoom discipleship meetings. And God continued to move. It is a powerful, powerful thing when you realize all that God has done. And I'm going to run through these kind of quick. Hang with me. There's some meat that's coming that you're not going to want to miss. So Nazarene preschool, we had to shut down. We had to start giving folks refunding dollars and helping folks to move. They developed online learning. Through major safety precautions, this fall we're at about 92 kids. That's down from 120. But we've discovered something. We've discovered that there's an interest for parents who are staying at home, who still want to do preschool online. And so it's a whole new area that we're beginning to think about. Pastor Phil and Peggy McDermott have worked extremely hard, and it is alive and well. AJ came to us as our rec pastor right about the time everything shut down, and his first responsibility was to give a whole bunch of people their money back. He stepped in and began to try to figure out, and he wrote me a note. I asked him about the experience, and he said over and over again, he heard through the summer and into the fall, parents saying to him, thank you for continuing to try to make this happen. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being there. A child ran up to him a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I'm going to see you this week. Meaning he was going to be part of the ministry during the week. And that connection between rec and the connection between that the church and rec was coming. He's had parents say, hey, we're watching online. We're looking online. He's just done some incredible work. This is my favorite AJ story. He said a couple of weeks ago, as the kids came to play, there was a six-year-old who just wasn't in it. His parents were looking for him to be on the soccer field and play, and instead he was just standing in front of the tree crying. He's sick. It's hard to be sick sometimes. And he said, I walked over to him. If you've seen AJ, you know he's a football player, big guy. And he said, if you'll walk out there, I'll walk out there with you. And the little boy, wiping tears, grabbed a hold of one of AJ's fingers, and they made their way onto the field. And the parents were so grateful. Now listen, we're talking about helping parents win. That's our paradigm. That's our role. You think about all the other journeys that little boy's going to take. He's going to need somebody to come along and say, hey, it's okay, you can go. When he goes into middle school and when he does a whole bunch of other things in his life, that's the role of the church. We'll go with you. Strong at Home, Children and Family Ministries, Pastor Hunter Manter, who's only been here a short time, and Julie White has helped deliver, and there's a host. I hesitate to mention volunteers because I'm going to miss somebody, but the ministry to children and families has been incredible throughout this. Hunter comes in and is partnering, learning, and revisioning, and recruiting, and planning about how we might go forward. We're strong at home. Ignite Student Ministries, we've already talked about that. The fall retreat, and there's a movement in our student ministry that's incredible. It's headed in a direction that is going to be powerful. But here's one of the things that's different. In the ministry that we're doing now, 25 to 30% of the students who come to our activities have very little or no church background. That is not a commentary on society. That is a praise God. We're doing what God called us to do, and we're reaching those he's called us to reach. Pastor Bob came on in January to provide pastoral care and to lead us with senior ministries. He's been important in the C1 response team, hundreds of phone calls, hundreds of contacts, planning forward. In addition to writing the background notes, he's an incredible presence. We are strong at home with pastoral care. Pastor Galen, worship, assimilation, and teaching. This is our fourth trimester in a row over 20 groups. There are new groups and new people, online options, open doors. We've got a parenting group that was meeting at 8:30 at night or 8 o'clock at night because you put the kids to bed. And then you can, you know, grab a cup of coffee or something and get together. There are things that have developed that we've never had. And this came early in COVID, but this is one of my favorite quotes. My life group has become my lifeline. We are strong at home. We are blessed to have one of the finest executive pastors in our movement in Phil Kazee. The Elevate vision continues. Our giving, this is incredible. Our giving is off about 5 to 7% January through August. In the midst of COVID, having been shut down for such an extraordinary amount of time, I am blown away by that and forever grateful. Now, it was about 12% a month ago, so keep with us. These are difficult times, but our expenses are also below budget by 21%. We had to replace 10 air conditioning units on the roof, and most of you didn't know anything about that because we didn't have to come to you for money. This is what the Elevate thing, this is why we come and Elevate and we say, hey, if you can just give us an estimate of what you think you're going to be doing over the next 24 to 36 months, and because you gave, we were able to replace those units. there's new flooring in the gym and some other things out there. And here's the thing, we are debt-free. I look back through the history into the 60s, and there were three times that this church reported for 1 year at a time that we were debt-free, and we are. Position. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Strong at home. Committed to mission. 163 world areas are going to be supported today by your tithes and offerings to this local church. 212 languages in the Church of the Nazarene. There's worship happening today. 15 different languages the Church of the Nazarene's meeting with on Chicago Central District in Chicagoland. 30,000 plus churches, 5 seminaries, 30 undergraduate Bible, all of that stuff is part of who we are and what we do in our commitment to missions. Weekly, we start 27 new churches, and 2,872 new people join the church each week. Nazarene churches have been multiplying at this rate every week for the last 10 years. Our missions work here and around the world is extraordinary. You also know that we support, in addition to those things, we also support the work of Adonai and Katie Ficker, this nursing school in Guatemala, Native American work in Arizona with the Kressels, in Costa Rica with the LeGrands, and most of you, or many of you, have been on a mission trip, and if you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. One thing I always want to remind us when we talk about missions, and that is, in order for us to support work around the world, we must be strong financially at home. It is home that produces both the missionaries and the funds that carry them to the field. And sometimes we get into a situation where it's like, well, someone else will take care of the local church. We're just going to give to missions. That's short-sighted, my friend. And never would we tell you what to do with your money. You do what God leads you to. But as a principle, recognize that the people who are getting on airplanes and going around the world, the nurses who are ministering, and the doctors who are going, and the folks who are leading all kinds of ministry came to faith in a local church. And it was a local church that sent them. So we always want to remind ourselves of that. We are committed. Grit and grace. I'll have more to say next week about that, but I want to give you a redemptive thought for 2020. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is calling on the folks at Ephesus in the midst of a lot of chaos. He's challenging them on how to live, on what's most important, on what they need to focus on. And it's a fitting passage of Scripture for us in 2020. He says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." It's that phrase, making the most of every opportunity, that I want to lift out. In the Greek, the word there is redeem, to rescue, to ransom, to buy up, to make the most of, to redeem. Be very careful then how you live. We're in an incredibly important time in both our nation's history and in the body of Christ. Make the most, redeem every opportunity. So here's my challenge to us. There are 95 days left in 2020. I am not going to surrender 2020. This is not, I told the church board a couple months ago, we are not playing defense anymore. We're going on the offense. It may be different. I don't even know what play we're going to run at that point in time, I said. But we're going to do something different. 26% of the year is left. What are you going to do with those days? Both as a church, we're gearing up. But what about your family? What about where you are? What is it that you want to see happen that can change everything? Yeah, I know. I know. It's been big. I know it's been tough. I know it's difficult. But here's the thing, God has redeemed us and we're called to do something else. So I told you there was meat in the message. So here's what I decided to do. Since the shark has been my kind of emblem of what's happened, my wife doesn't know this, but I have planned our New Year's Day meal. We're gonna have shark steak on January 1st, 2021. I know where to find it. I'm gonna get it very soon, put it in the freezer. It's gonna be ready. I may only eat a couple bites of it. I have no idea what shark steak tastes like. And when I grill it, it probably won't taste very good. But I am not letting this year, I'm not surrendering this year. There are souls to be saved. There's healing that could come. There's things that we can do. The relationships that we don't know what 21 brings. Spend the last 95 days of this year loving each other, loving family, reaching out to each other, redeeming them, and not surrendering them. I know, it's not going to be easy. Some of you are dealing with stuff, and if you haven't seen Jaws, you should go home this afternoon and watch it. I know it's not easy, but listen, here's the thing. Jesus redeemed us. Think about it. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus redeemed us. He paid for our sins, atoned for our sins. Jesus made it so that we can come into the presence of God. Jesus took our punishment. He rescued us from sin. He gave us heaven to look to. He gave us the kingdom of God to live in right now. He lifted us and freed us. He redeems our past. He takes all of that stuff that happened to us and somehow he redeems it for good. He redeeds our present. On a dime, he can change your life. If you haven't accepted him as your Savior, you need to know that right now, today, Jesus' redemption is right here. When we pray, in a few moments, you can pray a prayer and step into that. Boom, just like that, your journey with him begins. So with all of that given to us, what are we going to let stop us? What are we going to let get in the way? He redeemed us. What role might we play in someone else's redemption? We're not the redeemer. But there are times when a hand on the shoulder, there are times when a kind word, there are times when some spending time in prayer, there are times with an invitation or when sharing the story, we can be part of that redemptive plan. And how will you redeem 2020? How can we, as we partner with God, take what the enemy has meant for evil and cause it to be a year that we look back on and say, man, that year had its challenges, but Jesus redeemed it and he has done great things. Make the most of every opportunity. Allow God's presence to flow over you and allow him to lead and guide. The church is alive and well. You'll hear more about that next week. But we are a church and have been for 116 years of grit and grace. One step at a time. Let's pray together. Lord, I think of all of the different facets of your church and how people watching online, people in this room, some of them have been committed and given and served at this church for decades. And others are brand new. And some are online, Lord, and some of our very best friends are still, Lord, in a position where they need to watch us online, and we're grateful for the ability to create this moment. Would you make us one? In moments when we're tempted to shy away or step back or hold on to something, moments when we're tempted to get distracted, would you give us your Holy Spirit's grit and grace that we, like all of those who have come before us, might step out of the boat onto the water when you call us, might give our loaves and fishes to your cause, might be willing to step onto the battlefield and face a giant, might be willing to pray in such a way that would cause those in bondage to see the chains drop away. Help us to serve with grit and grace as we pick up the towel and make it about others. We need you, and we're committed to you. And Lord, where there's someone for whom redeeming 2020 seems almost impossible, there are things that are outside of their control and they're doing their best, but we come to the end of September and it is just too heavy. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. Their redemption has not come with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your peace and your love and your presence and your touch and your healing and your hope would flood their soul. And where someone is crossing that, wants to cross that threshold right now, your word says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins and be our Savior and lead us into new life as our Lord. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.